Your Bibles tonight, please, and go with me to the book of Colossians and chapter number 3 in your Bibles tonight. The book of Colossians and chapter number 3 in God's precious word tonight. We're going to begin with verse number 1 here in God's word, Colossians chapter 3 in God's word tonight. The Lord struck my heart about something that God is able to do in the fact of the resurrection. The resurrection is more than just being saved. We need a resurrected life every day to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I heard about that great preacher, Charles Spurgeon, who preached in London back in the 1800s. And crowds would come to hear Charles Haddon Spurgeon preach. And Spurgeon, early in his ministry, he came to a conclusion that he did not preach or teach enough on the resurrection, because there's power in the resurrection. And Spurgeon came to this conclusion that he ought to preach more on the resurrection. And up in my library, I've got a volume of books, 15 books and an index that have all of Spurgeon's sermons. It's called his Expository Encyclopedia, and in it lists sermon after sermon that he preached on the resurrection of Christ. And Spurgeon saw thousands of people get saved and trust the Lord Jesus Christ because he came to the conclusion that there is power in the resurrection of Christ. And I believe that he certainly was on to something. And I want to take that vein and apply it to not just our salvation, but our life as a resurrected Christian in God tonight. So let's begin here, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. And I want to hone in on something particular tonight about this subject. So follow along, verse 1. The Bible says here, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And then he goes on, he talks about a lot of things that the Christian is to put on, and some things the Christian is supposed to put off in our life. We better be careful to put the things off that God says to put off. Amen? Because if not, that old devil will get a hold of us and control our life. Amen? So we got to do that. Now notice, if you would, verse 22, this is a verse that caught my mind, and I want to speak on the subject tonight of men pleasers. Men pleasers. And notice verse 22, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Let's stop. Let's pray and ask God's blessings tonight as we open the word. Father, thank you for the word tonight. I pray you'll take it. I pray you'll use it in our hearts and our lives. I pray, God, you take the message tonight, apply it to our mind and our hearts, and Lord, use it, I pray, in some way in which you gave it to me. Lord, we'll thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. When God raised us from the dead in salvation, God, the Bible says, we are to seek things that are higher than the way we used to live. Amen? It doesn't mean we're better. It means that we are supposed to live a resurrected life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the verse. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Can I tell you tonight, there are too many Christians acting like they're not resurrected. There's too many Christians acting like they're still dead. Now, if you don't say amen, this sermon is going to be really long. Amen? So you got to get with me. But I'm saying this tonight. We need to live as God said. We are risen with Christ. And so we've got to seek the things that are above, not on things of this earth. You see, it's so easy to put your eye on this earth, but that is what brought us back to the old life. We're dead. Trespass sins. We're supposed to seek things that are above. We're supposed to be looking for things that, because we are risen with Christ. And by the way, it doesn't say we're risen outside of Christ or above Christ. It says we are risen with Christ. When Christ died on that cross and you died in your sins in salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ raised you up with him. We're raised with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise. That's a promise. Now, I want you to notice an application to this truth and an application to this. There is a connection here in verse 22 of a danger that can attach to the Christian like a barnacle on a ship. It is this idea that a Christian begins a men-pleasing mentality. A man-pleasing. Can I tell you, we see men-pleasing in our society. You go to the workplace, there's always some guy that's always trying to brush up and polish his golden halo so he can appear like he's the good guy to the boss, so he can move up on the ladder and have a bigger paycheck. Don't we see things like that? Now, what that guy's doing is he's got his eye on a man. And that man is what he thinks is going to lift him up and get him up. But can I tell you tonight, hear me, that is completely opposite of what a Christian's mind is supposed to be. There is in God's mind supposed to be what's called a singleness of heart. Notice verse 22. It is not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Here's what God's saying. We are not to live our lives to try to please men. We are to live our lives focused only on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you and I do in our life signifies that we've been risen with Christ, where our affections are not on this earth. We are not living to please men. We're not living that way. Now, I think he's talking about something a little bit more in depth that I want to open up to you that I think that he's talking about here in verse 22. He's saying this. He's saying not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, he uses the word eye service. In other words, he's talking about someone whose eye is focused on something or some person that they want to please. And that person that they want to please has taken the place of God in their life. Amen? Amen. Can I tell you, we can understand this. When you were a teenage boy, how many of you remember when you were 13 years old? Some of you ladies won't remember when you were a teenage boy at all. All right? You'll have a hard time with that. But how many of you men remember when you were a 13-year-old boy and you found the guy who was cool? Remember that? Back in the 50s, you know, he rolled up his sleeves of his t-shirt and they were up here. And he rolled up his shoes and had penny loafers on. Oh, for those days again. Amen? Oh, for those days again. They got a different definition of cool today. Amen? But you remember that guy you wanted to be like? Or girls, remember that lady who was popular? She was the one that got the awards. She was either the pretty one, or she had the great personality. And you had your eye on that person, and you said, I wanted to be just like her. I heard about a lady, and she used to be a missionary's wife, and she grew up in the days of hearing a lady named Karen Carpenter sing. And she said, I love the way she sang, and I wanted to sing just like Karen Carpenter. And even when you hear her sing today, and I won't mention who it is, but even when you hear her sing today, it's like, I can hear Karen Carpenter coming through that song. Because what she tried to do, she got her eye on that. And notice, it's talking about serving with the eye. It's what you see in somebody or some personality or something about a person that causes you to just attract and just connect with that person, and you begin to really, in your heart, serve that person. It's like that boy who tries to fit in with the cool group in school. Listen, let me tell you something. God does not want us to fit in with all this world. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? Young men, do not try to live a life to fit in with the world. That's called eye service. That's putting your eye on somebody because of something that you admire or something you think is cool or something about them that you wish you could be like. God is teaching us that that is eye service, and that eye service is not a serving of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Amen? We do the same thing. Oh, we look at sports stars. Boy, if I could just play basketball like LeBron. Oh, if I could just do that. You'd be surprised. You know that 96% of the high school students in high school don't make it to college basketball. And less than 1% of those in college basketball make it to the pros. And those that are in the pros last an average of 4.5 years in the pros. There's only a very small minority of people at last, but you'd be surprised how many people have in their mind they're going to make it to that place. They're going to be there. And it starts at an early age. And what they're learning to do is what's called eye service. They're beginning to look at something, to want that something, or to be like that person. And that person is literally controlling their life and their mind by distracting them away from a singleness of heart. Now, here's what God is saying. God's saying, take that mentality and throw it in the trash can. Don't be a man pleaser. God's saying, you were risen with Christ. Seek the things that are above. Put your eyes on God. Have a single-minded focus on God. Amen. And don't live your life pleasing men or pleasing people. Now let me say this. This is not talking about a child trying to obey their parents and please their parents. You're supposed to do that. That's not what the passage is referring to. It's not referring to a husband or a wife living to please and love each other. That's not the context of what this is talking about. The context of what it's talking about is to take our mind and our eyes off of a single-minded focus on God and place it on some person or something or some dream or some ideology that somebody came up with. And we just have to give our whole mind to it. You know, there's people who live their life going from one thing to another, and they forget about serving God with a single heart. Let me tell you something. God wants all of our mind. God wants all of our heart. Don't let anyone get in. And I want to tell you something, Christian. If we're dead with Christ and we've risen with Him, and I want to tell you, we're supposed to be living a different way. We're supposed to be seeking the things that are above, and not the things in this earth. Amen. Great is the day when the teenager says, I don't want to be like LeBron. I want to be like Jesus. Great is the day when that young girl says, I don't want to be like the prom queen or the girl with the personality. She may be as sinful as the day is long. Well, I don't want to be like that. Let me tell you something. You ever stop to figure out God made you like He wanted you to be? Did you know that? God made you the way He wanted you to be. And He didn't want you to be what you're not. So don't put your eyes on some man or person to be what you want. Listen, you know, this mentality is a mentality that actually becomes a cultic mentality. I mean, who was that guy that got all those people in California to kill themselves on their bunk beds? And they walked in, all these people were, how does somebody get somebody to drink the Kool-Aid? Amen, I'm into ice cream myself. It's not Kool-Aid. I'd rather how does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. It's what this Bible principle calls eye service. People put their eyes on men and want to please men. And they don't want to have a singleness of heart to God. It becomes a mentality. It becomes an ideology. Why do men please men? There's different reasons. Hear me out. Pleasing men because they need the approval of a man, approval of somebody. I had a lady tell me not too long ago, she married a crazy guy. And you know why she did it? She said, because I don't want to be without a man. Let me tell you something. She's living to please a man and not living to please God. That's eye service. But some people are so caught up in having personal approval. Listen, I want to tell you something. As soon as you please one person, by pleasing one person, you're going to displease another person. And so if you go back and try to please that one person, then you're going to end up displeasing the other person. Who cares about trying to please men? We're supposed to be focused on pleasing God, and that's what motivates our decisions. That is where we live. That is the track that our mind is stuck on. Serving the Lord. We don't need to have personal approval. Well, preacher, I just need someone to have me that personal approval. I want to tell you something. There is someone whose approval you need to seek. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You are risen with Him. You're risen with Him. Thank God for that. Some people have to, they seek personal approval. You know why? Because they want to avoid a confrontation. You know, there's people in life who will go along with whatever you say. We were out talking to a lady one time, soul winning, and I talked to her about the Lord, and you know what I realized? Her heart was not in what I was saying. She was just trying to appease me that I could say whatever I wanted and she would just, agree with that. I got all the way to the plan of salvation and I asked her if you wanted to be saved. And she goes like this, yeah, okay. That's what she did. You know what she was trying to do? She was trying to appease me because she didn't want to confront me and say, I don't want what you say. She had drifted into a mentality of men-pleasing, of eye service and men-pleasing, because she wanted to avoid confrontation in life. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think God wants us to walk around loving confrontations all the time. That certainly isn't a Christian spirit. But oftentimes we're going to have confrontation if we have a single heart and pleasing God, because not everybody's going to like you when you please God instead of them. Amen. Somewhere along the line, you get this understanding. You get saved, you're growing the Lord. Guess what? I'm going to church on Sunday. Uh-oh. We used to have family reunions every Sunday afternoon. And now I have to make a decision. Will I please men or will I please God? The work party. We used to go to those Christmas work parties. But a lot of drinking going on there. A lot of stuff happening that's not good. You have to make a decision who you're going to confront. And a Christian has to be willing to confront everything that comes along so that he can keep a single-minded heart on God. You know why? Because we're risen with him. We aren't risen in this world. Amen? I want to show you what the Apostle Paul did. Go with me to Acts chapter 5 with me, please. Acts chapter 5. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Acts chapter 5. Notice verse number 27. The Apostle Paul had to learn a singleness of mind, a singleness of heart. He had to learn that he could not please everybody. So notice what he did in verse 27. It says, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Notice what Peter said, verse 29. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men."
Amen.
You see that Peter had gained. Peter was the same guy who one day was warming up by the fire. I never knew him. But something changed in his heart. Thank God it did. And he developed a single-mindedness in his servants to the Lord. And he said, you know what? I'm going to let all the men go. I'm going to let all the other things in life that I'm trying to please. I'm going to put it on that altar. I'm going to put it on that altar. You know why you put things on the altar? Because the altar is where things are killed. Amen? The altar in the Bible is where they slew things. And they gave them to God there. He said, I'm putting in the altar. I'm going to obey God rather than men. Can I tell you that is exactly the heart we have because we have been risen with Christ. We ought to obey God rather than men. When you get around to that crowd at work and they start telling dirty stories and dirty jokes, it's not always easy to have that singleness of heart. But let me tell you something. They may laugh at you and call you the Bible thumper. They may look at you and say, who does he think he is more spiritual than me? Can I tell you what? Let them say whatever they want. We're not trying to please God, men. We're trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Christian, let me tell you something. Every Christian has to develop that mentality because we're risen with Christ. A singleness of heart. Sometimes a person will turn, become a men pleaser because they desire a higher stature in what somebody else's eyes. Boy, they'll think great of me if I just do such and such. It's men pleasing. It's eye service that the Lord tells us and warns us not to do. Some even go to extreme lengths to try to get the approval of somebody or some person in their life, when really that person is not really the right kind of idol or the right kind of person they should want and desire their approval of. But there's something into us, our old human nature, that wants somebody else's approval. We don't like rejection. We don't like somebody to laugh at us behind our back. We don't like those things. But can I tell you what? Every Christian who's going to have a single-minded focus on God is going to face these things. We have to remember that we are in God's hand. And can I tell you, there is a danger when somebody develops this men-pleasing mentality. It allows somebody to actually control your mind so that you no longer have an appetite to please God wholly. Your attention is divided. It's God, but man. But man, and I'll serve God a little bit, and I'll, but this is the man that wants me to do this, and this. Can I tell you what? And by the way, this is why you don't marry somebody out of God's will. This is why you don't marry somebody out of God's will. Because hear me, can two walk together except they be agreed? I'm saying to you tonight, don't allow anything in your life to avoid and or to take away your attention and your, distract you from a single-minded heart in God. Sometimes a person in this mentality will not allow God to be the controlling factor in his dedication to God because his mind is so steeped already and it's actually programmed to please others rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens is this person's mind grows into an unwillingness and they begin to think that they're spiritual because they please people rather than pleasing God. In the way to avoid any confrontation, they please people so that they can get a temporary peace. But it really eventually brings them to a permanent trouble in their life. And it is an unwillingness to allow God to be at the forefront of our heart and our convictions because we're trying to satisfy somebody else or make somebody else smile or be happy with us. The fear of confrontation is very real in a lot of lives of Christians. And they really, it may sound strange, but really that man-pleasing becomes their God in life. That man-pleasing is what motivates them. It's what causes them to do whatever they do. And whenever they realize they're not pleasing somebody, fear strikes into their heart. And oh no, can I tell you what? That's a mode that every Christian ought not get out of or ought to get out of. And the mode we ought to get in is saying, Lord, what pleases you? Lord, I'm yours. What you tell me to do is what I'm going to do. You know, sometimes this men-pleasing can conflict in a home, it can conflict in a marriage. I knew a home in a marriage where years ago where one really wanted to tithe, but the other had a different mindset of what they wanted to do with the money. It was a man-pleasing mentality of what they were doing with money. And it actually put a wedge into their home and in their marriage because one was trying to please some outer form that never gave them any benefit or any blessing. It was just something in this person's mind that said, you have to please this group of people. And can I tell you what? I believe this mentality is an epidemic to a lot of Christians. I believe it can cause them a lot of internal conflict because that single heart to God is a freeing joy and peace in your life. When I say to God, God, I'm yours, it releases me from trying to please anybody. And can I tell you what in life? Whenever I come to a time where there's a conflict, you know what I should ask myself? I should ask myself, am I trying to please God in this decision? If I'm trying to please God in this decision, It may cause this person to not like me. So, guess what? I'm going to choose the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think Christian ought to go around trying to make everybody mad at him. Amen? I don't think that's the right spirit. But I'll tell you this. If it comes right down to it, we're supposed to have a single heart, a single-minded focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Single-mindedness will free you. Single-mindedness will open up your heart to a lack of conflict. And the only conflict I ever have to have is if I'm doing what God wants me to do. And if I'm obeying His Word. And when I'm obeying His Word, I find the same freedom that Jesus had when He got up out of the grave that day and left this old earthly house, this old earthly body, and ascended up to heaven. God saved us and He made us His new child, His child, so that we do not have to seek things on this earth. But we could seek things that are above. I'm saying you're risen with Christ. Put your focus on Him, pleasing Him. Do what God wants you to do. Don't be a man pleaser in life. You will find more stress. You will find more conflict. You will find more difficulty in life than if you would have actually had to have an unfortunate conflict with somebody. But God's trying to teach us something. Amen? And what He's trying to teach us is that there is a God in heaven who will bless you and I when we just obey God rather than men. You know, in Bible days, to make this choice and to make this decision meant for a lot of Christians they'd end up giving their life. They would give their lives. Peter eventually lost his life because he chose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with a single-minded heart. But let me tell you something. When you and I get to heaven and we stand before God and we give an account for the decisions that we made in life, imagine going to God and saying, God, the reason I did this is because I was trying to please this person over here. I was trying to make them think I was a good guy or a good person. I was trying to make them see me. I wanted to be in the in crowd. I wanted to be in their group. I wanted to fit in, Lord. That's why I didn't do what you wanted me to do. Oh, can I tell you what? How many tears will be shed in heaven when we look into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that we set our affections on the things of the earth and not on Christ. So I say to you tonight, Christian, develop a single-minded dedication to the Lord. Do not allow your life to violate a scriptural principle for somebody who desires something from you. Let your heart and your mind be single-minded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the world know that you're a Christian. Don't let it conflict with anything. Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, Christian, I want to tell you something. When you do that and have that kind of heart, you're going to find a peace that you never knew. Because you don't have to please everything and everyone. You just have to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve Him. Don't live for men. Don't try to be accepted of everybody. Let's be accepted of God because we're risen with Him. You know, that's one reason why He was risen for us, is so that we can be risen from those old dead things and those old dead mentalities that try to distract us and confuse us away from God. Don't let it happen, Christian. Have a single-mindedness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads tonight.